Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for Standing on My Soapbox, the weekly rant, rave, and review radio show where we talk all of the good, the bad, and the ugly of the past week's current events. Join your host, Scott Fullerton, and this week's special guest co-host.
Me, myself, and I.
You're also invited to call in and stand on my soapbox with us. Call now at 347-989-0126 to join the conversation. Now, here he is, stepping up to the microphone, your host, Scott Fullerton.
Hey, 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 everybody. Welcome to the show. How y'all doing? My name is Scott, and you are standing on my soapbox. It is today, Wednesday, February 8th, 2017. I hope you're having a great week and have made it through the hump day, and it's an easy slide into the weekend for you. Thanks so much for tuning in, guys. This is your call-in show where we talk about all of the week in pop culture, LGBT news, politics. I usually have a special guest co-host on every week. This week was supposed to be actor and advocate Michael Vega. He's not feeling good. He's under the weather. So if you have a chance and you see him on Facebook or Twitter, kind of hit him up and wish him some good health and chicken noodle soup. And we'll have Michael on probably in early March to come back in. So you're stuck with me today. So I really hope you guys will call in and talk to me and tell me what's on your mind. Got a lot of stuff to talk about today that I have down here, but I definitely want to hear from you. If you want to call in, you'll be able to hear everything on your phone. The phone number is 347-989-0126. 347-989-0126. Give me a call. You'll be able to hear the show while you're on hold, and I will see you in there, and we'll get you on the line here to talk about either to the topics I'm speaking about, or if you have something on your own that you want to bring up that I might have skipped over and not talked about. So welcome, everyone. It's going to be a great show today. We've already had two great days of radio. Monday, I had out and proud actor, model, and musician Adam Davenport on. He is amazing. Originally out of New York, been working out of New York City, Fort Lauderdale right now doing a play. It was very popular last couple of years, called Making Porn, and it's a pretty well received place, but got quite a few awards. But he has just released some new electronic dance music, and so we had him on Monday to talk about that, talk about Black History Month going on, and so great interview with him. You can check that out for Monday's show. And on yesterday's show, I had actor from The Bold and the Beautiful and trans advocate Scott Turner Schofield. He's bringing his show to Miami this weekend. He's actually spending the next couple days doing his one-man show there, talking about tales from his life as a trans man. Such a great, prolific speaker, and he'll be out in Miami. And we also talked yesterday, singer Preston Wiggins, out and proud singer, who has some new music coming out April 11th. We previewed two of his songs yesterday, so it was a lot of fun. So you can check out any old shows, all of our Left of Straight shows, all of my Standing on My Soapbox shows, our new show, Voices for Change. You can check those out on our free app. You can use your iPhone, your Android, your tablet. Go to your app store and type in Left of Straight Radio. It'll show up absolutely free. You can download it. You'll never miss an episode of anything. Also, this Saturday, like I said, we have our new show. It's called Voices for Change. It's hosted by my buddies Joe and Rebecca Lombardo. It's two great straight allies talking about mental health and the trials and tribulations of that and how to get better and different good, bad, and ugly of that. This week, they have an exciting guest, especially for those of you in the LGBT community that love little wrestling. I know so many of my friends out there love some wrestling. Well, they are friends with WCW and WWE star Diamond Dallas Page. This tough and hardy wrestler has now an extreme yoga expert and is doing yoga classes and has his own yoga brand all over the place. So they will be talking to him this Saturday at 11 o'clock Eastern Time, 8 a.m. Pacific Time, for their Voices of Change right here on the Left of Straight Network. So cool beans there. Next week, my special guest coming in will be Rachel Curran. She's in the new story. It's playing on BET right now. And we're going to be talking about Black History Month some more. And she'll be standing on my soapbox with me next week. So lots of fun stuff going on. We're going to go ahead and jump right into it. And like I said, anytime you have something to talk about, you want to jump in on a topic I'm talking about, give me a call. Phone number is 347-989-0126, or just an hour of listening to me, and who really wants that, right? Well, thanks for being aboard, guys. Let's jump into the LGBT news that I found a little interesting this week. I love a little bit of British TV. I don't know if you guys do, but I'm a big fan of BBC America. And if you see it all, you probably know about Doctor Who. He is the time-traveling doctor. He travels in a TARDIS, which is one of those English phone booths. And he's been, show's been on forever. It's a British staple. Everyone in Britain knows about it. It's huge with our sci-fi geeks like me. And it's had many actors have played the doctor over the years. And it's been going on forever. It actually brought the character of Captain Jack, which is played by John Barrowman, that I'm going to talk about in a little, just a couple seconds here. But John Barrowman played a spinoff of Doctor Who, Captain Jack. And it was, oh my God, that was a great show too. But they're going to, what happens is every few years when the actor decides to stop playing the role, and like I said, this has been a long-running show, and so the actors will run with it anywhere from, I think the shortest term was maybe 4 years to quite a few years. They change the actor, and they do it on their season-ending Christmas show, usually. And the actor kind of dies as part of it and is reincarnated as someone else. They've actually built it in the storyline to get a new actor when needed. So the person that's currently playing the Doctor is Peter Capaldi. He's been in it since he replaced Matt Smith about 4 years ago. He said he's going to leave the show at the end of 2017. So that means they're going to have a new Doctor reincarnated, probably on the Christmas show again. And the word on the street is he's going to be played, as gay, openly gay actor. His name is Ben Whishaw. He was rumored to replace Matt before Peter got hired way back, but now they're really thinking on the buzz about him coming on is growing louder and louder. He's been in a couple of great movies, The Danish Girl most recently, and won a lot of British filmmaking awards, and very handsome guy. So we may have a gay Doctor Who coming in 2018 or the Christmas season in 2017. So that's kind of exciting. Also on BBC, if you're not a fan, I suggest tuning in, finding on your cable box, it's usually for one of the high numbers, the Graham Norton Show. Been on for a long time. I've known about it for, 8 to 10 years. And Graham Norton is an interview show, sort of like a Phil Donahue-type interview show. He is openly gay, asks some really great questions, has some huge stars, has every one of the biggest stars from the U.S. and the U.K. and around the world. And it's a great show. I take them every Saturday night, in fact. So two great shows on BBC if you're not currently watching it. Now let's go back to John Barrowman a second. John Barrowman tried to get on the show, and I got a no from his agent. He was too busy, so I'm still trying to get him on. But John Barrowman played the show, Captain Jack, and I forget the name of the show all of a sudden. I got to think it up. But it was an offshoot of Doctor Who, sci-fi type show. He played an openly gay character the entire time. And John Barrowman is just an amazing actor, singer. He played the East End in London, Le Cage, for a long time, selling that out. Amazing singer, amazing actor. He's currently been, you know, me and my superheroes, I love my superhero shows. He came to the TV show Arrow on the CW channel from the very first season as the baddie, the bad guy. And as Malcolm Merlin, on Arrow. So he's been on that show for a while. Now he's been bebopping around to, currently he's on Legends of Tomorrow, playing part of the Doom Patrol. And so he's just been a great actor, been following a long time. Well, I told you a little bit, I think it was either this week or last week, that they are going to be doing a musical episode, which you know I'm a huge fan of my huge fan of my superhero shows, which I'm another huge fan of. So they are going to combine The Flash and Supergirl with a musical crossover show coming up in this season, probably the next 4 to 6 weeks. They are filming it this week, though. And John Barrowman, who I follow on Twitter, did a couple of shots today of him and Victor Garber from Flash. And these two shows have some amazing singers on it. If you're not watching the shows, the lead in both shows, Supergirl, played by Melissa LeNoist, and The Flash, played by Grant Gustin, they're both graduates of Glee. They were both on Glee for quite a long time. So they have that kind of a pedigree. Of course, there's John Barrowman, who was part of, you know, but The Flash, with the DC, and probably he can kind of go as a Flash character, because he's been going after Victor Garber, who's another huge, I'm a huge fan of. And Victor Garber started out on Flash and is now on Legends of Tomorrow. So he's going back for this musical show. They have Jesse Martin as on The Flash, and Tom Cavanagh as The Flash. Jesse L. Martin, of course, was the original Tom Collins in Rent, my all-time favorite musical. And Tom Cavanagh has done a lot of singing on Broadway as long as his television shows. And then from Supergirl, Jeremy Jordan, who you know I'm nuts about from Newsies, he is on the Supergirl cast. And so it's going to be a huge, amazing crossover of The Flash and Supergirl. And they're filming it this week, and I can't geek out enough about it. And I'm sure it's going to be out in 46 weeks, so you'll hear me talk even more about it. So I thought that was pretty cool. And those shows are so good for having LGBT characters. We've been talking the last couple of weeks. Supergirl, her sister, who is a kick-ass girl of her own right, who plays Supergirl's adopted sister on the show. She's come out as gay recently, and it's had a great storyline. And then The Flash has had gay characters. Andy Mientis from Broadway played the Pied Piper. That's another thing, just going back to the musical episode, I think Rumor Control is also from Glee. Darren Criss is going to be the big bad guy in the episode, so the big baddie that they're fighting against. So it's going to be a big Glee reunion on that show. Anyway, great storylines on CW. Huge shout out to openly gay creator Greg Berlanti and all the people working over at CW. They do a great job of incorporating LGBT characters into all their shows. They have one on all four, Supergirl, Flash, Arrow, and Legends of Tomorrow. They all have a great LGBT presence in them, so good job on them. All right, guys, please call in. I'm getting dry throat already, guys. Hoping to hear from you. We're talking LGBT news right here on our Wednesday Rant Raven Review Show. Give us a call, 347-989-0126. First thing, let's talk about the RuPaul's Drag Race. They announced the latest cast of RuPaul's Drag Race could be starting very soon. I don't have logos, so I have to watch it online, and I never get to it on time. So I'm not a huge immediate follower of all the Drag Race girls. I like drag. It's not my big thing, so I'm not a huge follower as a lot of my friends are. But they announced the cast, and I guess there's a lot of favorites in there. They have Asia from Brooklyn coming on, Alexis Michelle from New York City, Charlie Hides from London, Eureka O'Hara from Tennessee, Pheromone from Vegas, James Mansfield from Wisconsin, Kimora Black from Vegas, Nina Bonina Brown, I love that name, from Atlanta, Peppermint from New York City, Sasha Velour from Brooklyn, Shay Cooley from Chicago, if that's how I pronounce it, Trinity Taylor from Orlando, and Valentina from LA is a new cast that's announced. So like I said, I've heard some great feedback from my from my serious hardcore followers of Drag Race. I just looked through all the pictures, and Trinity Taylor looks amazing from Orlando. I don't know much about her, but she's the one I'm just going to, my pre-guess, without even knowing anything about it, watching a thing on any of them, I'm going with Trinity Taylor. We'll see what happens from Orlando. And the guest star for the very first episode of this new season is going to be none other than Lady Gaga herself, fresh off the Super Bowl. So that could be kind of cool. Last bit of LGBT news we have, then we're going to go ahead and take a little bit of a break here. They had a new Gallup survey come out. They do this every couple of years. And it ranks the most and least percentage of citizens identifying as lesbian, bisexual, or transgender, or gay across the country. This year, they interviewed almost 500,000 randomly selected across the U.S. And the highest one of percentage was 5.3% of the population of Vermont was the highest per population, 4.9% in Massachusetts, California, and Oregon, and 4.8% in Nevada. So I thought that was very interesting. And now this is proportion. So like you say, why the heck is it New York on there? This is for, New York has a jillion people in it. And California has, that's a huge percentage for as many people in California. You got to remember those are two probably most populous states. So New York is a little surprising, but California just as surprising isn't it when you go total population percentage. And actually the largest percentage across the country, but it's not a state, of course. It's the District of Columbia, Washington, D.C. It has 8.6%. So you figure with all the gays in D.C., we should be having a lot better laws than we have going on now, but that's just me saying. And then what are the smallest population of LGBTs out there? According to this poll, South Carolina and Montana have 3%. Below that is Idaho. Below that at 2.7% is North Dakota, and the least populated by percentage is South Dakota with only 2%. So there you go. That's not too surprising. Montana has more square miles than it has people in it. So, but that's an interesting survey. Like I said, they do it every couple of years. Gallup's pretty reliable, and 500 random. Now, these are people that identify. A lot of people still won't identify. A lot of people not out, of course. As I said, here in Ohio, we have a huge LGBT population in Columbus. It used to be the fifth highest in the country. It's now, I think, number eight or nine. But as far as population goes, obviously, it looks like we're somewhere in the middle here. Cleveland has a good ground. Akron, my Youngstown area actually has quite a bit, believe it or not. And so yeah, kind of interesting stuff. Actually, I want to give a little shout out to Ohio. They have a couple great in the news options here. One, it's finally getting recognition, but a friend of mine, Anita Davis, who started our very first Pride Parade here 9 years ago, former Youngstown Police Department, I think she's a captain. Maybe I don't want to say her rank if it's wrong or not, but anyway, her and two friends started the Pride Parade here 9 years ago. She is now on the council, the city council for Youngstown, which is right by where I live, and was able to get the very first city LGBT actions passed at the end of December. So my little burg in Northeast Ohio has protections. You cannot be fired in the entire city based on LGBT on your sexual orientation, which is awesome. Then just coming down this week, Toledo, Ohio, which is on the northwest, I'm northeast corner of the state. Toledo's the northwest corner of the state. They have banned conversion therapy, and they're fining the counselors $250 per time that they try to do any conversion therapy on the LGBTQ community. So go Ohio on that. But with that, I'm going to kind of take a little transition here. We're going to go into pop culture. And to do that, I want to play, it's kind of a long clip for you, but you know I'm a huge fan of James Corden's show, The Late Late Show, and he does this riff-off thing where he riffs off against different musical artists. Well, the other day he brought on Adam Lambert for a riff-off to see who would be the best frontman for the band Queen. Because, of course, it was just announced that Queen is going to be touring. They're going to be both in Pittsburgh and Cleveland this summer. I believe it's June or July, and I'm going to try to get Adam on the show. So I have reached out to Adam's people this week to see if we can get him on the show. But anyway, he was on James Corden the other day. They had a riff-off. It's about an 11-minute clip, but I'm going to play that. It's a riff-off to see who would be the best lead singer for the band Queen. So take it away, Adam and James. You're listening to Standing on My Soapbox. I encourage you to call in. It's your time to rant, rave, and view. Phone number 347-989-0126. Here's Adam Lambert and James Corden battling to be the lead singer of Queen.
Hey, exciting news today. Did you see this story today? Did you see it that Queen, who were just my favorite band when I was growing up, I still love so much, they just announced a summer tour of North America. Summer, the whole tour of North America. I think they're doing like 24 dates. But like, in my head, when I was growing up, I always thought that I would make a great front man for Queen. Who is it? Who is it now, does it? It's the, what's his name, Adam?
Lambert.
Adam Lambert,
Lambert.
That's it. It's Adam Lambert, does it? I mean, yeah, I mean, it's all right. Should be a British man. I'm not saying I'd be a better front man than him. I'm just saying I think I'd be a better front man than him. That's all I'm saying. Wouldn't I? Now.
What's up?
Adam Lambert, that is so weird. We were literally just talking about you.
Yeah, I know. I can hear you back there. Yeah, you know, I heard you saying that you think you would be a better frontman than me for Queen. Yeah, I heard you.
No. I don't think that I would be a better frontman for Queen. I know I'd be a better frontman for Queen.
Really? If you really think that, maybe we should go head to head, James.
Okay. Wait, stop it. You can't. Listen, Adam, I would love nothing more than to embarrass you with these angelic pipes. But there's no way I can prove I'm a better frontman for Queen because Queen aren't here. So there we go. Now, moving on.
Well, actually they are. Hey guys, come on!
Hello, Roger. Hello, Brian. Thank you for letting me know you're in town. I
James. Thanks for having us. I mean, what did you think? Did you think that was good?
I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah. That's all right. Okay. Yeah. That was amateur hour. Okay? Are you sure you want to do this, Lambert?
Yeah, I'm
sure,
man.
Okay. All right. Well, this is going to be fun. I'll tell you why.
Tonight I'm going to have myself a real good time.
Stop now.
I was just saying, don't stop me now.
Right, if you stop now, that would be better.
No, that's exactly what I was saying the opposite of. I was saying, don't stop me now. You need to listen.
Well, I just thought it was probably enough. So, it was fine. It was fine. It's okay. It was okay. It was a good try.
Yeah, well, you're going to say that. Look at his face. He knows he's made a mistake.
I don't know. I just thought it was okay for me, dog.
We'll see. Brian, let's up the ante. Okay, that was unbelievable. That was... Okay, all right. That was amazing. You win. That was amazing.
So say it.
Okay, you're a better front man than me.
See that? It's true. It's cool. Hey.
I just always thought I would...
I thought we were just having fun. James, it's okay. You know, hey, man. Hey, cheer up. You don't have to be sad about this. It's just the way it is, you know? Look,
these people all love you. I love you.
Yeah.
The guys love you. We love you, man.
Yeah, we love you, gents. We love
Thank you, Brian.
Yeah,
thank you.
Thank you. It was just a game.
I know. You love me. I know that, you know, the audience at home love me, and that's hundreds of people. So you guys love me, but who else? You know, what about me? How do I find somebody to love?
Now, come on, if that doesn't make you feel good, what is going to? Thanks to CBS for that. That is James Corden of The Late Late Show and Adam Lambert doing a frontman ripoff with one of my favorite bands of all time, Queen. Man, I miss Freddie Mercury. But yeah, that was a great, great piece of the show. James Corden's done that with so many great people. That's kind of fun. Now, he's on a roll, too. I mean, James Corden has been all over the place. He hosted the Tonys this last year out in New York. He did the Tonys. And this Sunday, he's also hosting the Grammy Awards. Now, those of you guys that know me and listen to the show, I'm not a music guy. I just have never been really into music. I like listening to music in the background, but I don't order music. I don't buy music. I don't buy CDs. I don't know who's singing the song. I know the songs I like. I have on my internet radio in the car. I have my satellite radio in the car. And I don't even look at who the artists are. I just kind of listen, let it play. So I'm not a music guy. But they have the Grammy Awards this Sunday. And, of course, that's all my friends are really into music. So if you know anything about it, of course, this is Standing on My Soapbox, and you guys are more than welcome to call in and give me your opinion on any topic we have going on each week. The phone number to call here is 347-989-0126. Go ahead and call in, and we will get you in right away. But yeah, the Grammys are on this Sunday, and I'm really looking forward to it. I usually watch the award show because they're fun. And I do, like I said, I like to watch music on occasion, just don't really know who's who. But this year, of course, they're going to have two huge tributes. Of course, we have Prince and George Michael that passed away last year since the last Grammy. So that's going to be pretty interesting to see who they bring in to do those songs. So I'm going to be looking for that this Sunday. Adele's going to be there because she's nominated quite a few times. Beyonce should be there. Of course, she announced she was pregnant with twins the other day. So she's expected to be there, and a lot of people. Now, record of the year, we have three people with one person names nominated, and two that I've never heard of before. So, of course, we have for record of the year, Hello by Adele, Formation from Beyonce, and Work from Rihanna. Now, the other two that I've never heard of, or I might have heard of, and like I said, I just don't know what they're called or who sang them, is 7 Years by Lucas Graham and Stressed Out by 21 Pilots. So I don't know those two songs, but that's for the record of the year. And hey, someone answer for me. Tell me on my social media. If you're not following me on social media, at Left of Straight on Instagram and Twitter, that's at LEFTOFSTR and the number 8 on Instagram and Twitter. On Facebook, you can go to the Left of Straight Show Facebook page or friend me at Scott Fullerton there. But tell me the difference between Record of the Year and Song of the Year. There's another category for Song of the Year that has two of these songs in it and then three different songs. I don't understand the difference between a record and a song of the year. I'm confused on that. So if anyone knows, please let me know. For albums of the year, they have Adele again for 25. They have Beyonce again for Lemonade. They have Justin Bieber's Purpose, which I hear is supposed to be really good. I've heard a couple of the songs on there. They have Views by Drake. And they have A Sailor's Guide to Earth by Sturgill Simpson, which I've never heard of before. So I don't know what a Sturgill Simpson is. So I might have heard it, but like I said, I can't recognize the name with the artist. The best new artist, I haven't heard of one of them, so bad. Like I said, I probably have heard their music, but I just don't know what the heck it is. So there's that. So that's the Grammy Awards of Sunday. If you'll be watching that, I'll be kind of tuning in while I'm doing other things. Be bopping around on the computer getting ready for next week's shows. Of course, we had the Super Bowl this past Sunday. I talked about the show with Lady Gaga as the entertainment. I'm not a big sports ball person, but it was a good game, especially that last half there. But Lady Gaga really stole the show. I thought her halftime performance was fantastic. Of course, there's been commentary on both sides ever since. Everywhere from her being Satan and to just knocking it out of the park. If you didn't see it, I didn't understand those were drones behind her. If you didn't see the show, if you were under a rock somewhere, she started the show at the top of the stadium. And behind her, all these little lights started flashing in the sky, forming out pictures and a flag and things like that. And I didn't know how the heck that was. I didn't know if they had a black screen behind her or what it was. And it turns out it was a bunch of drones color coordinating everything behind her, which I guess I was just late to the party. I never knew that but me. But it was a beautiful look. And then it looked like she jumped into the stadium, which I was later told she didn't really jump into the stadium, but she had the harness on, but she did kind of jump in and it was worked around a little bit for me. That's why there was no camera following her all the way to where she was. You see her jump off the top of the stadium, then you see a little bit of a camera delay, and then you see her coming down in her harness down to the next level. And that little thing was whatever was in between her not actually jumping off there, but getting pretty darn close to it as they get the harness thing together. So that was very cool. And of course, since it's Gaga, who's been so politically active in the past, people wondering how much she would go. Everyone was told she couldn't go political. She was told not to be political or she'd be fine. Everyone thought, well, it's Gaga. She's going to do it anyway. But I think she had a lot of great political subtext in there. I talked about it in the other shows the other day, so I won't go into it too much more. But I thought it was very good subtext by using a Woody Guthrie song. For if you haven't heard of Woody Guthrie before, look him up and see what some of his subversive songs have been. You know, the very mainstream song, they were subversive at the time, and they did have meaning behind them. And then, of course, she did Born This Way on stage, which is attributed to everybody, our LGBT spectrum and everyone else, along the rainbow path, so to speak. And there was another part where if you saw her come down near the end, she kind of took this one girl out of the crowd and hugged her. And from what I was told, that was right after she said something about, I want you to stay, or the song lyrics was, I want you to stay, kind of, you know, a subtle meaning, I don't want you to be deported. She looks like the girl was kind of a Mexican heritage. She pulled out of the audience, and I want you to stay. So it was subliminal, but it was very powerful, I thought. So good on you that, and that's all the pop culture of the day. So let's get into our last little bit of politics here. Got about 10, 15 minutes left of show. I really hope one of you guys would call in. I hope you don't get bored of listening to me for an hour. I know I do. Again, you can call in at 347-989-0126. We're here every Wednesday from 5 to 6 live. If you're not listening to this live, listen to the app. Of course, phone lines are closed. But let's spread it up and take another quick little break here. Let's finish it up with play a little bit of Randy Rainbow. You know I love me some Randy Rainbow. And my second favorite video of the week was Randy. If you don't know Randy Rainbow, you need to follow him on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, all those places. He does great parody interviews where he takes subjects, interviews they've done with other people, and asks his own question to go with him and parodies that interview and then adds a nice little Broadway show tune in between every once in a while, which is kind of fun. So this week, his song was Fact Checker, Fact Checker, a la Fiddler on the Roof, talking about all these alternative facts. He started off with Kellyanne Conway again, and he just does what he does so well. So let's play a little bit of that, and when we come back, we will talk a little bit about politics and finish this up for the day. You will have time to call in one more time when the song is over here. But let's go ahead and play Fact Checker, Fact Checker, Fact Checker, Fact Checker by Randy Rainbow. And standing on my soapbox, my name is Scott Fullerton, and we'll be right back.
We are back with my guest, a woman who sells more fiction than J.K. Rowling, Kellyanne Conway. Kellyanne Conway. Sorry, I always do that. Kellyanne, we are weeks into Trump's presidency, and already he is firing everyone who doesn't agree with him. Now, didn't these people take an oath to defend the Constitution and not pander to the whim of an arrogant, demagogic man-baby whose only true loyalty is to himself? I'm asking for a friend.
Every president has a right, really has the right to surround himself with a team that's going to work with him. He is calling for extreme vetting from 7 countries that President Obama first identified. I bet there was very little coverage. I bet it's brand new information to people that President Obama had a 6-month ban on the Iraqi refugee program after 2 Iraqis came here, were radicalized, and they were the masterminds behind the Bowling Green massacre.
Well, I think that's new information because, you know, it never f***ing happened.
You can't just look at what's happened. This man ran on a stronger and safer United States of America, and more important, just as
fact checker, find me some facts. I can't keep up. I can't relax. I thought that facts that you fictionalize were called something else, like lies. Fact checker, you be the sleuth. So many tweets, so little truth. Help me keep track because they seem to be rewriting reality. What's up with Kellyanne Conway and what alternate world does she live? She acts more self-righteous than Kanye and all of her facts are alternative. Fact checker, is this legit? Siri, you there? Google this shit. Sift through his sycophants, comb through his clan, and find me some facts, if you can. Donald, oh Donald, the media just lied. There was a massacre at Bowling Green. All right, so no one died, but it's a good fact, a real fact, true? No. So tweet out some distraction in case they give us flack. And hashtag Frederick Douglass. I think he's black. Ooh, Spicer. Sean Spicer. Go out and make a claim. The inauguration crowd was huge. All right, so no one came. But it's a good fact. A great fact. True? No. Deny the ban on Muslims and say it's their mistake. And when they say you're lying, just call them fake.
In fact, actually, the Obama administration identified... Obama administration...
What?
fact checker, even just one actual fact.
That might be fun.
He'll counteract the inaccuracy and find just one fact for me.
Obama, come get back in your bubble. I know you're on vacay with Michelle. It's not that the country's in trouble. You know, we're okay. It's just we're in hell.
Fact checker, I'm so alone. Where is the truth? I've come to know.
I'm about to move in with Justin Trudeau. So
bulldozer bull, trudge through his wheat, dig through his wig, audit his back, and find me some f***ing facts.
Our hearts go out to the victims of Bowling Green.
And there you go. We are back. That is Fact Checker by Randy Rainbow. If you're not following Randy all over social media, you need to. His interviews and parodies are spot on. Look for him on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all that fun stuff. So, yeah, that was a lot of fun. Another great video. If you're not a Saturday Night Live watcher anymore, Saturday Night Live has gotten really good this past season with all of their political commentary. And, of course, Kate McKinnon just brought a lot of energy back to it. And I'm not playing the clip because it's a long clip, and it's really a visual clip you need to see more than anything else. But if you do not see Melissa McCarthy parody Sean Spicer, which is Donald Trump's press secretary, on Saturday Night Live this week, get yourself to YouTube as soon as the show is over and Google it. I mean, you have to see Melissa McCarthy, of course, from Gilmore Girls, from stand-up, from all her movies, and from Mike and Molly and that. She just portrays Spicer dead on. It's amazing how much she looks like him. And you really have to see it. I can't really play it for you, even though it's funny what she says, but you got to see her looks and her mannerisms and things she does that really brings it in. So check that out. And in that vein, Rosie O'Donnell has volunteered to play Steve Bannon on Saturday Night Live if they ever want her to. They portrayed Steve Bannon this week as the Grim Reaper. Of course, Steve Bannon is the alt-right white supremacist guy behind Donald Trump, which everyone thinks is he's calling all the shots. Who knows? But he was the editor of the very white supremacist, Republican-leaning Breitbart News, now in the Trump administration as a head advisor. And they portrayed him as a Grim Reaper this past week on Saturday Night Live. But Rosie O'Donnell said she would play him if they gave her a week to prepare. And as much as Trump just hates Rosie, nothing would get under his skin more than to see Rosie play Steve Bannon. It would be hilarious. Our good friend of the show, Tony Tripoli, he was on a couple of weeks back. He tweeted day before yesterday something that even before it was announced that Rosie might think about playing Bannon, that Rosie should play Melania Trump because her and Alec Baldwin are really good friends. And even though she looks nothing like her, but just to piss off President Trump, if Rosie played Melania, he thought would be funny. I thought it was probably the funniest tweet I'd ever read. And then comes this week that she actually is thinking of playing Steve Bannon, which would still really drive President Trump bananas. So I hope that comes to pass. I'm setting my DVR for this Saturday, and we'll see. I'm going to have it every Saturday just in case I miss it live, because that would be amazing. Too much fun from your words. So what else do we have going on in of course, and back to that too, Melania Trump, if you haven't seen, if you want, I love videos. So I like tuning you guys on to videos. Most of them have gone pretty viral, so I know most of you have seen them, but if you haven't, they're good things to Google. Look up Stephen Colbert and Laura Benanti. Laura is a, of course, Broadway superstar, and she was on Supergirl, and she was on a lot of television shows. She was on that Nashville show and a couple other things. But she did a spoof of Melania on Stephen Colbert that was so spot on. It was right after she did that plagiarism thing at the National Convention. Look up that video as well if you haven't seen that, if you want to do some laughing. There's some great videos out there. Political season always brings out great knockoffs, and since we have this never-ending political season with Trump right now, I think it's going to bring us some good stuff all year long. But of course, we did have Betsy DeVos got through her nomination yesterday as Secretary of Education. Of course, DeVos is a multi-billionaire woman. I think she's a trillionaire now from what I heard, married into the Amway fortune with her husband, Dick. And she has been a proponent for years. Her and her entire family have only been to private school, never set foot in a public school, is a huge supporter of privatizing schools and school vouchers, and wants to do away with public schools. And she was Trump's pick to be the director of education in our country when, of course, 90% of our kids go to public schools. And so Democrats tried hard to get her out, and in fact, two Republican senators from Alaska, and where's the other girl from? Maybe, I don't remember where, but they said they would not vote her through, which brought it to a 50-50 tie. They spent about 4 days trying to find another Republican that would derail her nomination and couldn't find it. So yesterday they voted on it. And for the first time in the history of a presidential pick for a secretary of anything, Vice President Mike Pence had to come down and break the tie and vote Betsy DeVos in as Secretary of Education. So I'm really hoping it's going to bite him in the butt for being the tie-breaking vote on that down the line. We'll be able to call him on that. I will give her credit she was really bad in her interview process, said a lot of really bad and not well thought out things for her confirmation hearings. I will give her credit for today. She did have a meeting with her staff and called a news conference to speak to her staff at the Department of Education. And she did dig at herself a little bit, make a lighthearted joke about her whole bear thing, which was smart of her to do. We'll say smart. But I am worried about her being in that. So she's going on there. Of course, Jeff Sessions are trying to hold him up. Last night, of course, we have they're trying to slow down Jeff Sessions' nomination for Attorney General. And Elizabeth Warren went on, they had an second night of all-night speeches to try to slow this down. Elizabeth Warren went up last night and with some prepared statements and started to go into reading a memo from Coretta Scott King, Martin Luther King's wife, that she addressed to the Senate that was trying to confirm Jeff Sessions for another judgeship, and they ended up they denied him that judgeship back in the day. And so Elizabeth Warren tried to get that read into the record. It was never read into the record back then by mistake. So she wanted to read this again in the record, and Mitch McConnell did unprecedented is such a bandied about word anymore, but did unprecedented thing of censoring her and not letting her speak, wouldn't let her say the speech, and wouldn't let her talk for the rest of the time, involving an arcane ruling of Senate that you can't talk bad about another senator, like Senate Rule 19 or something. So she was basically silenced. The good news of that is it made the whole thing go viral. Now everyone and their brother have heard this thing from Coretta Scott King, and it's made the Republicans look really bad, and McConnell look really bad for trying to silence someone in protest of that. So it's kind of turned around to bite him in the butt, but still, just the things that are happening there are crazy. And of course, now we're waiting for the immigration ban. It's been getting protested every week for the last 2 weeks, have gone to the Ninth District Court of Appeals, and we will find out if that stay that turned over the ban from Trump is going to stay or not. So that's the big thing going on there. So that's it in politics. There's a lot more going on, but I'm sure you guys have heard me rant enough by myself today. I've been looking forward to coming back next week when I do have a special guest co-host. Again, that's going to be Rachel Currens from the New Edition Story, currently playing on BET TV. Thanks so much for listening to us. Remember, these Wednesday shows are your show to call and talk about what you want to rant, rave, review on the weekend. Politics, pop culture, and LGBT news. I'm going to finish up this show with a guy that I love so much. You always know, Trevor Page. I talk about all the time, and I love his song, Warrior. And it's time for us to be warriors. We need to take this political action and put it into gear. This is Trevor Page, Warrior, from his album, Oligarchy. Thanks so much for listening, and we will see you next week.
Open your eyes and tell me, is this what you believe? Into the depths of darkness, as dark as it can be, I will hold you tight and we will rise up with the sun. With my hand in yours, companion, we'll fight until we've won. Can't you see it? The beauty. I'll keep trying to open up your eyes, and I won't concede. I will put on my armor, and I will stand up tall. There's nothing that I wouldn't do. I'll always fight for you. So if you stand with me and know it's worth everything, this is worth everything. With so much to lose, I'll always fight for you. Push it harder to the limit, the only way to achieve. I see this responsibility, and we will succeed. Why can't you see?